The slide that's up before you talks about the power of Christmas. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of Christmas, but before I do, I want to show you one person's interpretation of not just the meaning of Christmas, but what sometimes can be lost in the meaning of Christmas. If you had seatbelts, I'd encourage you to put them on.
Yeah, ho, it's me again, just in time for the holiday season. You like the hat? Yeah, whatever. Anyway, Mary, it's not politically correct to say Christmas anymore. By the way, what'd you get? Did you make a list? What do you want? Or what are you expecting? Did you take the kids to the make-believe little North Pole land and then the little local mall, huh? Did you sit them on Santa's lap? Did you put them on Santa's lap? Did you get a Polaroid of it? A $40 Polaroid of it? That's money well spent. There'll be a poster in no time. What about the Xmas cards? Xmas cards, huh? Did you send those out yet? I don't think you did, because I haven't. And then the family portrait? The family portrait that you send out to everyone that everybody flips by just to find the cash? Oh, with the tree? Is the tree up? Are the lights up? Is your blood pressure up? Hey, did you set up one of the 946 available nativity scenes yet? Because my personal favorite is the one with the new action figure baby Jesus. Hey, you just flip the lever in the back, and it reaches up to the Magi. The one with the gold. It grabs the gold. Very popular in the OC. Oh, don't say the OC at me. No. Wait, I'm not even finished. No. Hold on a second. Did you get that special gift for that special someone? Will they like you more now? Will you like them more if they get you what you want, huh? Huh? Does it come with batteries? Does it come in pieces? Does it come with some assembly required? Did you get the turkey, the ham, the dressing, the yam, green eggs, and yam? I am. Did you get that? Huh? Did you switch to a Mac? Did you keep the receipt? Wait a second. Am I asking the right questions at all? What am I even doing? Am I the only human on the whole planet now that understands what Christmas is really about? It's not about presents. It's not about gifts. It's not about money. It's not about trees. No, come on, people. Christmas is about... Christmas season... Well, it doesn't really matter, because Santa Claus is coming down the chimney any second now, and I've even set all the cookies for him. So we'll have to get to the real meaning of Christmas when I can get a rebate for it. For now, have a very merry... happy holidays.
Well, that makes a point. Clearly makes a point. Now, let me just tell you right up front, Santa Claus is coming to our house. Okay, this is not an anti-Santa message. Santa's coming, and in fact, if you listen to him closely in part of that rant, we actually did change to a Mac. You know, we epitomize exactly what he was talking about in some degrees. But really, the point is not to be anti-Santa. It's really to be pro-Jesus. You know, the question is, what is the meaning of Christmas? That's ultimately what we're talking about. And oftentimes, we can get caught up in the ho, ho, ho of Christmas. And I've entitled our message this morning, Go, 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 Merry Christmas. To just really kind of pull this apart and to understand what it is that we're talking about. You see, when we get into the ho, 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 that's putting a focus on Santa. When we focus on go, 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 the emphasis is on the baby who was born on Christmas Day. The whole reason for celebrating Christmas. You know, that so often we can get caught up in all the stress and the turmoil of, you know, happy holidays. You know, no, not happy holidays. Merry Christmas. You know, I promise you that if you get caught up in the happy holidays, you will be incredibly stressed. Chances are you're broke. You're at your wit's end. And truth be known, by the time it arrives, it may be holiday, but there's not a lot of happy. And we get to that point, we try to convince ourselves. Well, you know, when it's Merry Christmas, there's joy. Now, that's not to say that the Christians aren't living out some stress, aren't broke, but there's a different underpinning. The meaning of Christmas brings joy. You know, so I'd like to talk to you a little bit about this whole idea of gift giving and what it means to receive this gift of Christ at Christmas. So somebody might say, you know, where should we begin? Where do you begin with something like this? And I would say, let's begin at the beginning. Let's talk about Christmas. What is it? Why do we celebrate it? What's up with all the gift giving? Well, Christmas is simply this. It's Christ Day, Christmas, the day of Christ, the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. This is His day. Why do we give gifts? We give gifts to emulate what happened on that day, that God gave us the gift of his Son, that we might all, each and every one of us, and this is the good news, each and every one of us, everybody, can receive the gift of Christmas. Because this gift of grace came for all of us. We celebrate by giving gifts to one another because Jesus himself was the greatest gift of all that was given to us. You know, the purpose behind it? This is an expression of God's love. You know, that's why we have Christmas the way that we do. Why do we celebrate it in the way that we do? We're trying to show each other, and I would say to you to show the world, what God had shown us in the gift of his Son. Now, you might ask, what makes him a gift? What makes Jesus a gift? Well, this gets down to some of the really tough stuff of Christianity, but this is the nuts and bolts. Jesus is a gift because it's through him that we have access to the Father and we have access to eternal life. You know, we hear words like heaven and hell, but I don't know that we always understand the depths of both of those. Heaven is to be with God for all of eternity, and hell is to be separated from him for all of eternity. Jesus came as the gift. Sometimes I think of him as the key, capital K, that unlocks the door to eternity for all of us. We've been given that gift of eternal life if we'll simply receive that gift. Can you imagine on Christmas morning having a situation where somebody said to you, all of your life's dreams, everything that you could ever imagine beyond your wildest dreams, all that you've ever hoped for and ever will hope for, it's in the living room under the tree. But, and this gets really tough now, here's the thing. It's really, really hard. This is going to really break you. You ready? Everything you've ever wanted and ever will want is in the form of a gift. And it's in the living room under the Christmas tree waiting for you. But here's the deal breaker. You have to receive it and then go open it. I'm sorry. I know that's brutal. I shouldn't tease you like that. It's really unfair, isn't it? That's the gift of Jesus. Everything that you could ever want or need in eternity in heaven. And by the way, that eternity begins in the here and now. The moment you receive and accept that gift, heaven begins here on earth. But you've got to receive it. And you've got to open it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the stampedes to the living rooms that would happen if you knew that you knew that you knew that all that you've ever wanted, ever could want for all of eternity, not the measly 100 years or so we spend on the earth, but forever. It's waiting for you in the living room. But you've got to do the hard work. You've got to go receive it and open it and accept it. That's the gift of Jesus Christ. That's the Christ of Christmas. That's why we call him the gift. Now, some of you, this will be old school news, but I want to point out something, a quick sidebar. When we talk about Jesus Christ, the Christ in Jesus Christ, do you realize that that's not his last name? So often we think of Jesus Christ and we think it's like, oh, Jesus, one of those Christ boys from up the street. Oh, yeah, those Christ kids, they're good. Realize that Christ is not his last name, it's his title. That Christ is another word for Savior. And I don't want to get into an English class here with you, but it has the definite article with it, the Savior. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Savior. The gift. The gift of a Savior. So when we think of Jesus Christ, when you say it, hear it, read it, whatever, think about Jesus the Savior. Jesus the gift. Capital G, capital S. It really helps put things in a different perspective. And again, it ties us back to, it's not happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas. Merry Christ Day. Happy Christ's Day. Celebrate the fact that Jesus was born, this gift, this Savior. Now, some of you may do as I have done in the past, and this brings up the next question. Okay, that all sounds good. I've heard that church stuff before. gift, savior. Yeah, yeah. Save me from what? What do you mean savior? You know, maybe I haven't noticed. I got a couple of Beamers in the driveway, a boat out on the water. You know, a couple of houses. Or maybe it's, you know what, I'm just getting by, but I'm not so bad. I don't need a savior, thank you. It is about ho, ho, ho. I like the gifts. It is about Santa. And, you know, this whole Christ thing, it's just an add-on. Save me from what? Well, this is where Christianity gets down into the nitty-gritty. And really, this is the underpinning of the whole Christian faith. So you can almost think of this as a fork in the road. See, we all need a savior, because the truth is that we've all been identified as sinners in need of a savior. We've all blemished. The Bible says this, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if you accept that God is holy and just and cannot have in his presence, he couldn't let into heaven unclean sinners. You say, well, that's a problem. Because you just told us that the Bible says that we're all sinners. And it does. But you know what? Before you get excited or get upset, I want you to know that the Bible does more than define the problem. The Bible tells us about the solution, the gift. That's Jesus. That's the gift. That's the Christ of Christmas. You see, we're going to look in your bulletins today. I've highlighted that the primary focus, our number one verse for today, is going to be John 3:16. I want you to think about this. When we talk about Christmas and gift giving, I want you to think about, for God so loved the world, not a little church on Ken Island, not a certain denomination, not a race or creed of people, not a socioeconomic strata. For God so loved the world, every single one of us, amen, from all corners of the world, that he gave. This is the gift giving again. Hear this. That he gave. Here's the gift, capital G, of best gift of all times. His one and only son, the unique Jesus, the God-man. The only one who had the ability to bring the purity of Christ. Who God himself could say, you know what? Yeah, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's nobody there that can pay the ransom. But my son, the sinless one, if he came and sacrificed himself, that could pay the debt. That's the way. So for God so loved each and every one of us that he gave this most wonderful and powerful and unique gift, his son, Jesus. That, and this is one of my favorite parts, I pray you hear this. Whosoever, that, my friends, is an incredible component. Whosoever, don't you let anybody ever talk you out of the fact that God loves you. Jesus loves you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and he loves you. Personally wants to have relationship with you because he wants you to be one of his children, to become a child of his, to simply believe and receive that he loved you so much that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him, whoever will believe and receive this gift, will you go to the living room and unwrap that present and just receive it into your heart, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. You will not be separated from God for all of eternity. You will not be in hell, but you will have eternal life with him. That, my friends, is the gift of all gifts. Now that gift for each and every one of us is to be received and to be shared. I want you to see that there's one gift, there's one process, and there's two places for us to act. The first one is to receive that gift. If you have not yet said, I know that I know that I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I want you to know that all you've got to do is say yes, to believe in Jesus is who he says he is. He's done what he said he would do, and he will do what he's promised, and then to receive that into your heart. If you have done that, then there's only one other thing, and that is to share it. That we're all about taking this good news and bringing it out to one another. You know, the gift of Christmas, the gift of Christ Day, it's not to see what we get under the tree. It's to work as hard as we can to give that gift of eternal life, to give that gift of God's grace to as many as we can possibly get it to. Not to force it down their throat. This is not about pushing Bible on anybody. This is about offering with open hands and open hearts the gift of grace, the gift of eternal life, the gift of God's love to whomever will receive it. And that's what we're called to do, to receive it and then to go about seriously as best we can to share it. Now, when we share it, most of you think of the spiritual side of sharing, and that is, I would say, most important, that people need to know the love and truth of Christ in a way that changes their hearts. But I want you to also know that it has a very real, tangible feel. And in our society and in our culture, in our day, people don't tend to care about what you know until they know about what you care. You know, it's not about pounding somebody with knowledge. It's about hugging them with love and truth. I'm about to show you a video that depicts that. And I want to just tell you up front that this is the first video production that we've made as a church. This is all our people, all of our equipment, all in-house gifting that you're about to see. I want you to appreciate that, to see what God's doing in our midst. But I also want you to see the message and just know the impact that we can have and what we're called to do. We're called to share the truth of God's word. But don't ever lose sight of the fact that we're also to share the warmth of his hugs. Amen. It tells a story, doesn't it? You know, we can be cursory and just kind of, you know, here's a buck. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, here, take what I've got. Nah, never mind, I want it back. Giving the gift of Christ is spiritual, but don't ever lose sight of the fact that it's also very tangible. Very, very tangible. I would say this, that if somebody is telling everybody about the love of Christ and not showing, that there needs to be an inspection of the heart. Most of you have seen our, we call it the Real Deal Mobile Ministries, our passion wagon, where we hit the streets and we bring ministry out beyond the walls of the church. On the side of that wagon is a verse very similar to that that you just saw in James, 1 John 3:18. It says, let us not love with word and tongue. Talk is cheap. Let us not love with word and tongue, but in action and in truth, the real deal. So I would encourage you to remember, when we give the gift of Christ, to do it in every facet. Now, the other component is that we give not only spiritually and tangibly, but we give locally and globally. This morning, those of you that called the bridge home know that this is the day that's designated for our Lottie Moon International Missions Christmas offering. We do this once a year. Every penny of this offering goes to support the Southern Baptist missionaries that are all over the world. And at the risk of beating the drum, I'll tell you that we chose to be Southern Baptist on purpose. When we went to seminary, we were not. We chose in large part because of this offering and what it means. 100% every penny goes to support missionaries in the far corners of the earth. And the Southern Baptists put more than 2-to-1 the number of missionaries around the world than any other church group that there is. Now, I want to tell you that we talk about doing it locally, regionally, and globally because that was God's command. Jesus' last words, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the outermost reaches of the earth. And we embrace that. We're going to embrace that this afternoon. If you're not familiar with this, in your bulletin, I've made a note. We're going to have a church-wide lunch after the service. Stick around, go to the cafeteria. We're going to have pizza together. After that, we're going to Kmart. We're going to Kmart from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock to wrap presents in the name of Jesus. No strings attached, no donations accepted. Just saying to people, you know what? If Jesus were here today, I think he'd come to a place like Kmart, hang out with people like us and you, and do something just like this. Just be creatively kind. And when that couple of bucks comes across the table, says, no, we're not saving up for anything. This is not about collecting donations. This is about me showing you that Jesus loves you. In fact, you'll see a video at the very close of service today. Don't run out when you hear. You're going to see, we did this last Saturday. You're going to get a small view at that. We're going to do it again this afternoon. Another expression of that local is, most of you know, we have this week and next week are our last weeks here at this elementary school. The bridge is moving to Kent Island High School. Why? In part because it will better equip us to reach our community. When we go to the high school, we'll be meeting in the auditorium. We'll have state-of-the-art theater. We're going to elevate the environment so as to help us to reach more people. It's all about taking the gift out and sharing it. Let me show you a video that's going to give you a small glimpse into the world of the Southern Baptist missionaries that our Lottie Moon offering serves. Over on the communion table, there's a small bucket. We will take our regular offering at the end of the service today. But if you'd like to do something specifically for the international missions component, you can either put it in the offering at the end with a designation as such, or you can just drop it in that bucket. Either way, what you're about to watch is what you'll be supporting.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the light of salvation is spreading around the world. Southern Baptist missionaries are carrying the light and pushing back the darkness. In countries that were devastated by the tsunami of 2004, God's light is beginning to shine. Building on relationships that started when Southern Baptists reached out with aid and support, Southern Baptist missionaries are now seeing many respond to the light of salvation. In Southern Africa, where the AIDS pandemic leaves those suffering from the disease with little or no hope, God's light is having a calming effect because Southern Baptist missionaries are offering comfort and the promise of an eternal hope. In East Asia, Southern Baptist student volunteers spend their winter break teaching college students the true meaning of Christmas. Many are hearing for the first time that the light that guided the wise men so long ago can also guide them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In some Muslim countries, Muslims are having dreams about a prophet clothed in bright light who is the way of salvation or who brings the message of salvation. Some know him as the Lord Jesus, and others are waiting for someone to tell them who he is. Like a city on a hill, God's light is shining bright for the world to see. In 2005, more than 17,000 new churches were planted. More than 450,000 people accepted Christ and were baptized. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering set a record in giving, as more than $137 million was collected. Seminaries and Bible colleges saw a rise in enrollment, and more than 450,000 new believers began discipleship training. These are just a few examples of how God is moving around the world and how His people are being obedient to His call and shining their light among the nations and those who live in darkness. God's plan is working in part because Southern Baptists are letting their light shine brightly. May God empower you with His Spirit as you do your part in taking the light of the world to the ends of the earth.
That's what we're a part of. Each month, some of our contributions go to that. But on Christmas, we take a one-time offering that goes specifically to 100% to the international missions effort. Those of you that call the bridge home know that we've already connected with some missionaries in a northern region of China. And through the work in the heart of this church, churches have been started in China. Amen. You're already a part of this. Amen? I want to read you something about Lottie Moon, because a lot of people say, well, Lottie Moon, who the heck is she and why do we celebrate her? She was a missionary that went to China in the late 1800s, and she was not any type of a superstar. It's just that she had a passion for the lost, and she was the one who initiated the request that later became the annual Christmas offering. She said, would you help us? There's so much more that needs to be done. Would you help us to mobilize folks and resources? And so because she was the one that initiated the start of this Christmas offering, it bears her name. But I want to read you a quote that she wrote from China on September 15th, 1887, while serving in Tengchao, China. She said this, how many there are who imagine that because Jesus paid it all, they need pay nothing, forgetting that the prime object of their salvation was that they should follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ in bringing back a lost world to God. That's what we're participating in. So I would encourage you to pray over that and to just get serious about getting involved locally. Come on out to Kmart. You can be a missionary wrapping presents for Jesus. Amen. Or you could go to the far reaches of the earth. There's no right or wrong. There's no better or worse. It's a matter of finding your fit and simply loving people through your life in the name of Christ. Now, I just want to point out, sometimes there's this thought that, well, you know, that's all well and good, but, you know, I'm a good person. I do my best. I live as best I can. And I don't know if this rings a bell with anybody, but this was me. You know, I'm going to be a good person. I'll do good as best I can, and I'll be good enough to get to heaven. A God of heaven will look down at me and say, well, you know, at Jeff, he wasn't perfect, but he gave it a pretty good shot. And more times than not, he was better than most. I have to say, honestly, pretty good. Come on, you're in. One of the challenging truths of Christianity is that there's no such thing as good enough. That we have to acknowledge the fact that what the Bible says, to be a Christian, to be Christ-like, is to be a biblical Christian. A lot of folks take the title and miss the meaning. And that happens on two sides of the equation. You have some that take the title but don't understand what it means. Then you have others who understand and just pound people. You know, the religious hypocrites. The ones that are going to legalistically pound somebody into submission. And I would say to you on both sides, they miss it. Christianity is about the heart. It's about being Christ-like. That's truly the definition. And to be Christ-like is to understand that we cannot earn our way to heaven. There's no good enough. But again, we go back to that point. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever will simply believe and receive him will have eternal life. There cannot be good enough, but you can be thankful enough. Thankful enough through the expression of your believing and receiving him as Lord and Savior. That's the good news. That's the gift that we get to tell people, that if you'll simply go into the living room and open the present with your heart, not in a church, not with a pastor, just you and the Lord, just you and God. Anywhere you are, you can open that present. You see, it's extended 24/7 as long as you take breath. And God says, just believe and receive my Son. Open the gift. I want to give you eternal life. That's there for each and every one of us. That truth changed everything. Changed everything in my life. Changed everything on the planet. The birth of Christ began this process, where in person the God-man came. He was born, he was crucified, he was raised from the dead. And the gift now is here for all of us to receive. We receive it, each and every one of us. You know, you think of Christmas and you think of it as a Christian holiday. It's not for the Jews, it's not for the Muslims, it's not for the Hindus, it's not for the... And the list goes on and on. I want you to know that Christmas is for everyone. Christmas is for everybody on the planet because this gift is extended to one and all. There is, now, most folks may not realize it. Oh, I'm sorry, no, I'm Hindu. No, you don't understand, I'm a Muslim. No, you don't understand, I'm a Jew. So, no, I understand. You don't understand. Christmas is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. When that comes, it's important that we all decide that we're going to get in on Christmas, each and every one of us. We come back to that thing that I said earlier. When you get in on Christmas, you do it in one of two ways. You either receive the gift of grace, the gift of Jesus, or you share that gift. I want to tell you, this morning is an exciting time because we have four, if you'll please begin to come. We have four this morning that are going to be sharing the gift of Christ. They're going to be sharing. You say, what do you mean they're going to be sharing? They're going to be sharing the gift of Christ through baptism. You see, when we baptize somebody, what we're doing is we're taking the time. Sean, would you like to come first? We're taking the time to say, you know what? Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I want the world to know. This is a public profession. This is a coming out saying, you know what? I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. And now I want all to know that that is the case. Is it as cold? Very cold. Sean, why are we here today? What is it that you're here to tell everybody?
I'm here because I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
I'm here because I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. There is no better way to celebrate Christmas than to see somebody run and open up the present under the tree. Amen. Sean, upon your public profession of faith, it is now my honor and my privilege, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll come back the same way.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live.
Merry Christmas, my brother. Why are we here today, Greg?
I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. What a gift. What a gift. Greg, it is my honor again. And it's been a long journey. And it's been a wonderful journey to watch. It's now my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live.
This is Isabella, who again represents just a wonderful testimony. And Isabella is family to us. Amen. Our daughter is in her home and she's in our home 3-4 days a week. Mr. Steve is going to baptize Isabella, because for those of you that don't know it, Mr. Steve leads our children's ministry. We call it Bridge Builders. And this is a classic example of why we call that ministry Bridge Builders. Because we don't babysit. Through Mr. Steve and a team of folks who give their hearts to your children, we build disciples for Christ. Isabella, why are we here today?
I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
Isabella, it's my honor to baptize my sister in the name of the Father and
sometimes the way is lonely, steep and filled with pain. So if you cry and pours the rain, can't read. cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live.
Soraya is yet another wonderful testimony. And this is a process that has been in the makings for, if not a month or two, at least a number of weeks. Soraya was here the last time we baptized and went to her mom and dad and said, it's time. I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I need to be baptized, Mom. And then there was a period of weeks where there was so much excitement and so much exuberance that we were almost fighting a counterbalance of being too bummed out because we hadn't been able to schedule the baptism service. So I want you to know, when you look at my little sister in there, you see a dynamo for Christ who's been so anxious to come and say, I have received the gift and I want the world to know. Amen.
Can I share one thing too? When Soraya first came to us, she was a little shy. But it didn't take her long to come out of her shell. She had exploded out of her shell. She's the first one to seek you out to give you a hug in the morning. And she seeks you out for a hug in the afternoon when we're leaving.
Mr. Steve said that when Soraya first began to come, she was very shy. And now she's a dynamo that leads, looking for hugs and connections in the morning. One of the first to come forward and say welcome to everybody. Amen.
Fills your room and music fills the night. And when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live.
Thank you, Bob. Well, this morning you've come and you've shared in our Christmas. And I hope and I pray that you feel like you've watched some run to that tree, ripping open the presents, and saying, just as we had talked about, thank you, Lord, everything that I could have ever dreamt for and more, I now have in this gift on Christ Day, the gift of Jesus. You see, Christmas is all about gift giving. The gift of Jesus. Not the ho, ho, ho kind of gifts. Although there's a part for that. And we enjoy that. I just pray you don't let that be your focus. That this Christmas, when you hear ho, 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 that you will think, go, go, go. And hear the soft, still voice of a Lord and Savior. Jesus, who would say, go in remembrance of me, share and give this gift of a good news. Give the gift of Jesus to somebody, anybody. Give the gift of eternal life. You have that gift to give. You can't control if somebody will receive it and open it. But each and every one of us that know the truth and the love of Christ's day have eternal life to offer a world that so desperately needs it. So I ask you this day, celebrate by giving the gift of Jesus. Let's pray. Hey, Father God, I come to you now and I thank you so much for the gift of Christ's day. I thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough individually, personally, knowing the specific sins that are in my heart, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ would die for me. That there is no good enough measurement that I have to meet, that I simply need to open my heart and say yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior, to receive the gift, to believe him, to receive him, and then to share him. I thank you for all that you have done and all that you have empowered us to do. Lord, let us receive the gift best by extending an offer of the gift to others. I ask this in the name of your Son, the reason for the season, the Christ of Christmas. Amen.